Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Are you feeling stuck making minimum payments on your credit card debt? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? Get rid of your credit card debt and lower your monthly payments right now at SaveWithConrad.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's time for another edition of DDP Snake Pit, presented to you by Podcast Heat and AdFreeShows.com. I'm John Alba, joined as I am here on the Snake Pit by two bona fide classy Hall of Famers themselves. Let's start this week with Mr. Diamond Dallas Page. DDP, what's cooking, man?
Hey, dude, getting ready for that Ric Flair roast, man. Oh, yeah. Getting ready. You don't want to miss that. It's also going to be on a pay-per-view, too. They're going to hook that up with Rick's last match coming up. So I know Conrad's all over that with StarCast, so I'm sure it's everywhere.
I am very excited for StarCast. I'll be there. I know you'll be there. It's going to be a very exciting weekend there at the end of July, SummerSlam weekend. Jake the Snake Roberts, my friend, how are you?
Hey, man, August 13th, New York City, right across from Madison Square Garden, brother. Dwight Gooden, myself. It's going to be crazy, man.
Also, we're going to be going to the UK. I've got a tour coming up. I'm going to be doing some signings, but also going to be doing a Q&A, meet and greet. Also going to be doing something with the wrestling organization out there. Going to be doing a teaching thing, which you've been... Yo, matter of fact, the one in Glasgow, Drew McIntyre was there as a kid, Drew Galloway. That was, God, 20-some years ago.
Shut up.
So I'm going to be doing a seminar. I'm going to be doing a seminar there, but we're also, of course, going to be doing a DDPY tour. And my wife, Paige, and I will be, I'm sure, in London, Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, Cardiff. So go to DiamondDallasPage.com, and all the information will be there for the tour.
Man, I've got a horrible memory about Manchester.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Back in the day, we're over there, and it was hot. Boy, it was hot. Got the curtain. They're fixing to start my music.
Now, who are you? Are you with WWE at the time?
Yeah. So I'm ready, man. Just as they start my music, this guy comes up. Hey, would you mind signing this autograph for my son? I'm like, get the fuck out of here, you fucking idiot. God damn, I'm fixing to go in the ring. And I shove him, right?
Oh, God.
After my match, I come back and found out that I just shoved the late singer of Led Zeppelin.
Robert Plant?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I said, where is he? I need to talk to him. He left.
Oh, my God. But you know what? He should have known better. I mean, of all people, that cat made in front of the biggest crowds in the world. But you must have ate you and still eat you.
It still kills me.
Oh, my God.
Shoved Robert Plant backstage at the show in Manchester.
Told this kid to fuck off, too. That's great, Jake. I ought to win those fans over.
Man. That might be my favorite Jake.
This sounds like something Raven would do.
Oh, my God. Well, we're talking about Raven
great
today.
Great segue. We are talking about Raven. We're talking about a guy who has wrestled everywhere. He's been in every major company, WCW, WWE, ECW, TNA. He's encountered both of you. He's been inspired by you, Jake the Snake Roberts. There's so much that goes into the career of Raven, and I'm really glad that we're going to tackle him here on DDP Snake Pit. And he really... he's been around for a long time, too, and he is very near and dear to me because I do some work with the Monster Factory in Jersey. And he was trained by Larry Sharp over there, who is an iconic wrestling figure in New Jersey, as I'm sure you're aware, Dallas Page.
Sure,
and
sure.
He ended up making his debut in 1988 against Jimmy Jack Funk. When was the first time you, either of you guys, remember coming across Raven?
Why don't you say, Jake? Did you follow?
Man, I can't remember.
For me was CO back when Scotty was, you know, Scotty Levy, a.k.a. Scotty Levy. I always call him Raven, you know, today. But back when he was Scotty the Body, you know, when I first, you know, I'd seen his stuff before, but when I got to WCW, he was Scotty the Body. And at the time, in the beginning, I was still managing. I actually met him at Lex Luger's and Sting's main event gym, not the one that were in Marietta where it was like stripper central. Some of the greatest, some most beautiful strippers ever all came to that gym. And all the boys worked out there too. It was like,
imagine that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it was crazy to be a civilian and walk in there, get in the treadmill and look around at the people, jacked up, the boys, you know, and the girls. Jacked up, you know, it was...
Made a lot of people walk out.
A lot of people never wanted to leave.
I know, that's right.
But, you know, I met Scotty at the main event that was over on Buford. And I don't think Lex had the other place at the time. I was living in Marietta at the time. But, you know, I loved his energy, man. And we bonded, you know, we you know, bantered a lot. But he became a really good friend of mine over the time. And I know that a huge influence in his life, just not me, it's many guys, but, you know, Raven was a huge influence, or I should say you were a huge influence in his life. So last week we were lucky enough to have Mark Barrow come and join us. And this week, let's bring the Raven himself.
Oh, man.
I'm not carrying my own chair.
Oh, I love that.
I like it.
How you doing?
What's up,
good to see you, man.
Oh, man.
Sitting next to these.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Try to sling up a little farther so you're taller, Scotty.
There you go.
Side up to here.
Six foot doesn't mean nothing with 6'5 and 6'11 next to me.
Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't.
Foot. Where did you ever hit 6 foot? Okay, so, Rave, why don't you, because, you know, I know you've like been a fan, and of all people I've ever talked to besides him, you had, I thought, one of the best understandings of the business, the psychology of a promo to a match. And before you could even really do it as well as you would become, because you were one of my favorite people to work with in the ring, and we had some great
feuds. Yeah, we did.
We really did. You knew more than you could do in the beginning. Would you say that?
Yeah, that's difficult too, because you understand it, but you can't get your body. You know, I was never a great athlete. You know, I mean, like, you know, most of the guys in the business are great athletes. I could pretend to be a great athlete, like, you know, like I would look great dropping a fly ball, you know, running towards it, and then just, you know, the ball goes right by. But I looked athletic, you know, missing it. And I was, you know, just a mid-card athlete in high school, you know, and, but I understood, psychology, I understood human nature, I understood body language. And so, but getting my body to convert to the body language that I saw, you know, like, I remember when, when I first started in the business, I was in Memphis working for Jarrett, and, Ken Wayne, who turned out to be, well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, but so I remember, like, I was out with him one night, and he said, "Your lockup sucks." He goes, and so I was up like 4 hours, like till 4 a.m. He's teaching me a lockup, and I understood the positioning, but I couldn't get my body to do it. Until, so it took like 4 hours, and I remember, like, but the lockup is such an important aspect because it sets the tempo.
To me,
and
it's you.
I remember then teaching Paige, and I found I was really good at teaching as well.
Yeah.
Because I understood the body mechanics, you know, which is a lot of guys don't have to or just naturals, the body mechanics, like Bobby Eaton, you know, he wouldn't have to think about anything. He could just do everything just great. Whereas I had to figure it out and then get, first you have to figure it out mentally, then you have to get it to your body to apply it, and then you have to get it to become natural looking. So yeah, so you know, so it became very, I became very obnoxious because I knew more than my skill would indicate.
And that's so rare, wouldn't you say, Jake?
Oh yeah,
because I mean, to me, it took, you know, it took. I was around some of the greatest minds, and I consider you one of those guys, Rave, who was way ahead of his time, you know. And me,
get you in trouble.
I can remember me and you and Nash on the road, and we developed the click because Raven. Unlike me, I can't talk that much. Raven.
Wow.
You say, wait a minute here.
we've got three monster talkers, Nash, Raven, and myself. And Raven would always go, no, that's where you're wrong. And then he would interrupt and just say something. And at some point, I don't remember if it was Austin.
Well, it was because I was never tactful. I would just call everything as I saw it, and I never put – any, you know, nicety to it. So I was like, no, that's where you're wrong. And so it just, yeah, it's obnoxious, you know, but I was so insecure as a kid that's how it manifested itself as being egotistical and whatnot. And it's funny because you would think that people that are egotistical, you wouldn't think they're insecure, but that's the whole reason.
No, that's the reason why they are.
Exactly.
Unbelievably insecure.
Yeah.
But that's where we develop the click.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you change the channel, if someone clicked, you had to shut the fuck up, and we would click Raven.
Yeah,
we'd click Raven.
And I'd always be in the back seat because he's 6'4", and Nash is 6'10". And so I'm always stuck in the back seat because there's less room back there. So they would just turn around and click me. I was like, motherfuckers, you cocksuckers.
But it's funny because when you look at me, you, and Nash, me tagging with Nash and then doing the Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, the one punch bingo from Flamingo.
Yeah, that was great.
I love about your career, man. I love that, Dallas. He's played so many roles. He's contributed to wrestling in so many ways. You've utilized your knowledge that you're just saying here. You really absorb stuff and you were able to implement it in so many ways. I would argue that we're talking to one of the more versatile performers in the history of professional wrestling right now, Dallas.
Thank you.
Well, it was out of necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because he'd get fired.
Yeah.
be as useful as possible, though.
Yeah.
You know, the Dusty would always say that, you know, you need, you know, in my scenario, being a manager, a wrestler, you know, a guy who's in the back being in charge of production and helping guys with interviews. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I was everything from an associate producer on Monday Night Raw to a manager to, but it all came about because I wanted to stay in the business because, you know, I wanted to wrestle. And so that's why every time I got a chance, every time I got taken away from wrestling, whether it's a manager or it's, you know, then I would, luckily they kept me on camera when I was in WWE, they kept me on camera and made me an associate producer, you know, when I was a manager as Johnny Polo. And then, but once they took me off TV and just had me as a backstage grooming me for the booking committee, I was like, that's it. I got to go. I got to quit because I want to wrestle.
Let me interject. And like, I really want to know, because I know you've told me the story, but I can't remember it right now. But going up into New York, like, and getting that, and New York, for your other people out there, that's WWE. All right. So getting into New York as the manager, like, how did that happen?
WCW, Watts came in and Watts got rid of me because he didn't like me for some reason. And because I was a chicken shit heel and he didn't like chicken. He wanted all tough guys. And the worst part was I helped train his kid, you know, and his kid went to bat for me. And he still, you know, and Dusty had big plans for me. Remember when I came in and Dusty brought me into Scotty Flamingo and he said, baby, I'm going to make you the Flamingo Kid. And you're going to win the junior heavyweight title. And then I'm going to have you challenging for the heavyweight title. And Paige is kicking me under the table because he can't believe Dusty's put me over so strong. And I'm like, my shin will never be healed again. And so big plans. And then all of a sudden, and then the first pay-per-view I did, when I got back, I wrestled Pillman at it and nobody really knew me. So they didn't know what to expect. And me and Pillman had this great match. And, And I came back and there was like a line in the locker room to put me over to say great match, which I'd never seen before, you know, or since really, you know.
Let me ask you, did I bring you in to meet Dusty? Was I know we had met in the
Yeah. That's what I was going to get to that. Yeah. So Paige has been there in a lot of spots for me. He helped me get the audition with Dusty and got me. And then that's when Dusty put me over. And had big plans until Watts kiboshed him. And then Watts, I talked to Watts years later. He's like, hey, if it wasn't for me, you never would have been Raven.
That's a good point. Good point.
Hey, indirectly.
Yeah, indirectly.
He's right.
I know he is.
He's right.
Yeah. And
breathe.
So.
So I love Cowboy today. So let it go.
So
I love Cowboy.
So that's where Paige helped me there. And then we stayed really good friends. And then when I was in WWE, I was like, I got to quit. I don't want to be just an associate producer and be, you know, I don't want to be on the booking committee, you know, maybe when I'm 40 or 50.
I remember seeing you up there and you said, Jake, what should I do? I said, brother, if you want to wrestle, then you're going to have to fucking go.
Yeah.
Someplace else to wrestle.
Right. And then so I was talking to Paige about it and Paige is like, you got to change your gimmick. Chicken shit heels. Nobody's buying them. I'm like, yeah, but they're so good for drawing money and I'm good at it. And he's like, no, you got to be a tough guy. I was like, everybody's a tough guy. He's stunned to death. You know, he's like, Paige's like, you got to be a tough guy. He goes, you know, you remind me of those Red Hot Chili Peppers in that movie.
Wait, Point Break. Let me back up here. Because what had happened was how this ever came, and Kimberly is the one behind it. We were in, Hulk did his first tour. I think it was 94 or 95, whatever. And he came and we went to Europe. And while I was over in Europe for 2 weeks, all I saw, that was the only thing that spoke English back over there, was MTV.
Right.
And the only bands that I kind of knew, this is the early 90s, right, was Bruce Springsteen was up for an award.
Boy George.
No. friggin' Aerosmith. And the rest were like Green Day and Nirvana and all those type of bands. And I was one of my buddies picks me up named Tony Pellegrossi, and he's one of Tony Pellegrossi, the top promoter of big shows in New Jersey. And he's picking me up at the airport because we're going to spend a day together, go to dinner, blah, blah, blah. And Kimberly's with me. And when I get over the, you know, get in the car with him, I start talking about the thing over in Germany. And he goes, yeah. He goes, who's representing those bands today? And man, I go, nobody. And by the way, I think of Michael P.S. Hayes, you know, in the Freebirds is rock and roll. I think of Rock and Roll
Classic
Express.
Classic rock.
Yeah, but I think about all those guys for each generation.
Right.
But there's no one for this one. And I go, who could play that? And Kimberly says, Scotty could. And I went, oh, yeah.
So if you're the type of person who's always thinking about new business ideas or wondering what's the next side hustle I should spin up, well, here's a podcast recommendation for you. My First Million. The hosts Sean Parry and Sam Parr have each built 8-figure businesses and sold them to Amazon and HubSpot. Each week they brainstorm business ideas you could start tomorrow. These can be side hustles that make you a few grand a month, a big billion-dollar idea, or anything in between. Take one episode I loved, which was episode 158. That's where Sam and Sean explained how to make millions by buying Michael Jordan's house and turning it into a museum. If you love any of our business content we do on the show, I think you would absolutely love this episode. They also chat with founders, celebrities, and billionaires and get them to open up about business ideas they've never shared before. Like, you can check out their conversation with Rob Dyrdek in episode 224. That's where you'll hear about a guy who has built a $400 million media empire who's been tracking every second of his day for the last decade. So don't waste any more time. Make sure you check out My First Million. That's My First Million on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
But I remember specifically you said you watched Point Break and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They go, you go, you look like them. You
right. Were, well, it came to that. It was right. Part of the conversation.
Right. And because I wore, like, you know, like Vince was trying to make me wear a suit and tie when I was producing. Man. And he's trying to reform me. And, you know, then I immediately changed back into Doc Martens, ripped up jeans and a leather jacket, you know. I was like the first person to grow his hair out, you know, because when the mullets were in, which was, I don't know how mullets were ever in, but they were. And
yes, they were.
And so Paige's like, you look like those guys. And so then I go, then I took that germ of an idea and made it and then created Raven out of it. So Paige will always get, it's like an assist in hockey.
But also, I called Paulie.
Now, I know, but I haven't got to that yet either. So he calls Paulie. This is a great story. So he, once again, Paige comes to bat for me. So he points me in the right direction, and he's already got me in with Dusty before. So now he's pointing me in the right direction again in my career. And now I'm like, I got to go. I was living in Philadelphia because it's where all the indie shows were, the central hub. So I was like, I got to. And then I finally saw the ECW show. All I'd heard was bad things about it. You know, it's garbage wrestling, it's this and that. But it was the most amazing wrestling show I'd ever seen. It was so, it was provocative. It was mind-blowing. It was challenging. It was creative.
It was different.
And I was like, I got to be a part of that. I said, Paige, you got to get me on that show. You got to get me an ECW, because I was waiting for Cornette to bring me into Smoky Mountain, because I knew the Raven character had to have TV to get it over. I wouldn't be able to go like Regal when his career went down, he just went and started having good matches and got clean, and the good matches, the style that he fought, got him back into the limelight. Whereas with me, I'm a character, so I need TV to build my brand. And I went out one night. So it's a Saturday, Saturday day. Friday night I went out, got all coked up, was out till 5 a.m. Pass out.
Nothing like the character.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pass out. My roommate wakes me up, says, oh, you gotta go pick up the phone. Paige is on the phone. It's like 2 o'clock and I got drool out of my mouth. You know, I got eye boogers, you know, and I'm like, all right, what is it? He goes, Paulie's giving call Paulie. He's waiting for your call. I got you a starting date. I'm like, oh, that's great. So I hang up. I call Paulie. Paulie goes, I'll call you right back. So he hangs up. I'm like, what? And so, like, Paulie, that was Paulie's big thing. He, no matter what he was doing, he would always have to call you back. I love Paulie. And so then he calls me back. So he goes, blah, 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 blah. The starting date's this at this location. I'm like, great. I hang up. And my roommate's like, what'd he say? And I told him. He goes, when are you starting? I go, I don't remember. I was too hungover. I was like, I don't remember.
Now, I want to see if you remember this. So... he was a completely different character, obviously, as Scotty Flamingo, Johnny Polo, whoever. And a lot of things that Scotty would throw in there, because he could do, like, you know, hey, boy, he talked like this a little bit sometime. And I said, when he comes up with the name Raven, I go, dude, that's it. That's the name. And I said, let Siri do some promos. This is friggin' before I call Paul. Because I wanted to make sure that he was going to be that guy. And he called me up. He started doing a promo. He started getting, I go, yeah, but I don't know. That's really it. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We go back and forth. I remember freaking at one point he comes up and he does this really good promo and goes, yeah, boy. And I went, click. And I hit up the phone. He goes, can we get disconnected? I go, no, I hung up on you. That's not the guy, but you're really close. And then he called me up with the What About Raven thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, dude,
yeah,
that's him.
Yeah,
that's him.
It was a process. It's funny. It's like what it turned out was Raven was the inner child in me,
right,
magnified by 10. But I didn't see it as that at first. And so to me, I was trying to build a character when I should have just been trying to. But once it started going, I started to realize that it was coming from in here, you know, not from out there. And, you know, not to sound metaphysical, but, you know, it was crazy, too, because, like, I came up with the outfit, the name and the catchphrase all within like a 2-minute period. I was like,
it happens, but
yeah, it's divine inspiration. Yeah. I go, I need a name. I go, what's the name of the guy in the crow? What was his name? Eric Draven, quote the Raven nevermore. Okay, boom. And I had it. It was that quick. And then I go, what do I wear? I go, well, I need ripped up jean shorts. Well, I got that. I need, you know what? I go, I got a thick waist and no chest, so I'll wear a concert shirt. So I'll wear a t-shirt and cut the sleeves off because I had big arms.
You had big arms.
Yeah, I did. They're gone to the wind.
But your hair looks good.
Yeah, thank you. So then I go, I need some flannel, so tied around my waist.
That was a cool hip look.
You're going to love this. At first, I cut the sleeves off, put the flannel on as a shirt, and I'm like, oh, my God, I look like Big Josh. there's a name from the past.
Yeah, he was a hell of a worker.
Yeah, huh? Matt Bourne was great, yeah.
I was just going to say, they say the best characters are the ones that are yourself turned up to 11, right? So
right,
how much of you, Scott, is in Raven? And I apologize.
A lot. A fucking lot.
All the anxiety, the turmoil, the what about me,
God.
It's all me.
I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I hide it behind a mask of indifference and talkativeness.
Talkativeness. That's a good one.
So by now, you know that on this show, we're all about getting better. And one of the ways I've started to get better is I'm using Athletic Greens AG1 every single morning. And I have to admit, at first, I was a little skeptical because my wife recommended it to me. And, well, she's recommended some things that don't taste all that great. But not only does it taste pretty good, I'm actually feeling better than ever. And I give 100% of the credit to that, to AG1. Let me explain what's going on here. AG1 and just one scoop every day, one delicious scoop every day, has you absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day out right. This special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your focus, your recovery, your aging, all the things. But what's worked for us is it's easy to travel with. It doesn't taste bad. And man, I just know that I'm getting everything I need in one single serving every day. I also want to mention, because this is important to me, if you have a weird diet, maybe you're trying some new things. Maybe you're keto. Maybe you're paleo. Maybe you're vegan. Maybe you're dairy-free. Maybe you're gluten-free. AG1 is still for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything, and it still tastes good. It's also going to support better sleep quality and recovery. It's going to support mental clarity and alertness. And by the way, it's pretty doggone affordable. It costs you less than $3 a day, and really you're investing in your health, and that's probably cheaper than whatever you're spending on your coffee, right? It's cheaper than getting all these different supplements yourselves. And this is almost like investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. But what I'm most excited about is you don't have to take my word for this. Seriously, go just check out Athletic Greens reviews. What you'll find is more than 7,000 five-star reviews. And right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/TDPSnake. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/TDPSnake to take advantage and take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That's athleticgreens.com/TDPSnake.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So bottom line is you go there and you just kill it with Tommy Dreamer. I mean, the shit you did with Sandman and the stuff you did with Dreamer. And
you'll pop for this. I don't know if I ever told you this. The first time me and Dreamer, he needed color. And he's like, and he was known as Tommy Dripper at first because he could only get like drips of blood. He wasn't any good at it, which he became great at getting color.
Yeah,
but,
he did.
But he's like, yeah. He's like, will you get my color for me?
So he goes,
you got color in Portland all the time, I'm sure. I go, no, we couldn't get in Portland because the commissioner banned it because of Billy Jack is a whole other story for another time. But I go, no, but he didn't hear no. He just heard yes. So he's like, so I was like, all right, I guess I'll gig you. So, and all the boys were using these super sharp, not cutting off razor blades, but using these super sharp surgical tips. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I cut them out there, and I gaff them, and I go coast to coast on them.
Oh, way across.
And it's that picture you see in a magazine where Dreamer's head, there's a line like right across the middle of his forehead where it's forehead above it and just red below it. His whole face is red. That's him. And he's like,
he moved, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't move. No, it was a perfectly placed coast to coast. And then he's like, and I handcuffed him to the front of the ropes, you know, facing the hard camera. And he's like, and hit me with a chair shot once you're done, you know, handcuffing me up. And I'm like, he's like, it doesn't matter how bad I'm bleeding. He goes, I want you to hit me with it. I'm like, all right. So I look at him, and he's just gushing like nobody's business. I'm like, ah, fuck it. He said to hit him. Whap.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, Dreamer, he was like, we could do a thing someday. If I get like AIDS or something where I die in the ring and you kill me. You know, so he was all in. He's all in.
The Dreamer, Tommy don't know how to do it any other way, man.
Yeah, all in.
But it was fun to watch. And what I had told Paul was when I called him up, I said, listen, this is something that I'm building for us. Because I was taking over helping to make young talent come up with me and Eric. And only one knows it is me and Eric. And Rave was one of those people. And at the time, Paul didn't give a shit if he was left because he was going to do everything he could not to get him to leave anyway.
Well, he didn't even think it was a serious character. He thought it was going to be like a comedy grunge character, like similar to my old characters, but only with the grunge, you know, like.
Well, it would have been if we didn't friggin' go back and forth.
Right.
And I didn't go, like, no, not that. This is the guy. And then you just took it to a different level. But I told Paulie, when it's time for him to come, he's coming.
Right.
You know?
And that got me, me and Paulie, he hated me for a couple of years for that. But after that, you know, like, I mean, Paulie, like, is the most creative mind I've ever seen in this business. I mean, the guy is so brilliant. The best work I've ever done in my career was with him.
Because he would just let you go.
But he also, but it wasn't just that. He would also, what he would throw in, he'd go like, what about that? You know what I mean?
Of course, I mean, he's salt and pepper on steroids, man.
Right.
He's
salt and pepper
on
steroids.
Yo, he's
not the funk group, the girl group.
No. I think Paul is one of the greatest geniuses ever today.
Yeah.
The best talker, you know, I mean, for what he could do. And, you know, you look at a guy that literally has been on top for 20 fucking years.
No, 40 years.
Well, 40. But I mean on top. I'm talking about in the freaking WWE. He's been there for 25 years, and he's never lost the spot. He's always in the Bobby Heenan spot.
Yeah, but if you think about it, he was probably working on top since like 1990.
Yep, that's true, too.
Yeah.
We can go back to 35 years. But I just, the biggest part of the show, because he was in WCW, WCW wasn't, WWE was still the show. But either way, the point is, the guy's been phenomenal. He's a genius of the business. And that's why you can still freaking go out there and just knock it down. And he really helped you and, you know, be ready to come there. You know, when we were hot and you came in and being able to put that whole crew around you.
Yeah, it's kind of like the most influential people in my career were the grappler who I worked with in Portland and taught me how to. He taught me how to think psychologically. He taught me how to book. Taught me everything, and not because he wanted to. He wasn't one of those guys who would just teach you. You had to ask him the right questions and pick his brain.
So I had to do with Jake.
But you learn better that way.
Yeah.
And then Jake, who Raven had so much of Raven is taken from Jake's. You know, just like the sitting in the corner I got from Jake. You know, he was the first one to realize that if you talk softer, people have to lean in to hear what you're saying. You know, if you just screaming, they sit back and go, I don't want to hear that. Change the channel. You know, Paige helped me so many times in my career and got me so many breaks, you know, and so, and Paulie, you know, and Paulie was enabled me to do what I wanted to do and allow me to have the creativity and create the masterpieces I think that we did. And so those would be the four most influential people in my career, probably.
So at this point, you know, the guys are all about trying to figure out a way to get better. Well, science tells us the best way to achieve and maintain consistent deep sleep is by lowering our core body temperature. Temperature controlled sleep is going to repair your muscles after a hard day's work, and it's going to improve your cognitive function to strengthen your athletic readiness. And that's why this Memorial Day, Chili Sleep is working with veterans organizations to support our heroes' sleep and recovery too. Let me explain. If you're not familiar with Chili Sleep, guys, this has been a game changer in my life. I absolutely love it. I love it so much I travel with it. Chili Sleep makes the customizable climate controlled sleep solution that you need. You need it to improve your entire well-being. I say that from experience. I'm sleeping better than ever. I give 100% of the credit to Chili Sleep. These are water-based temperature controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress to provide you your ideal sleep temperature. And I mean ideal. Like my wife sleeps warmer than I do. I like to sleep a little colder. We can do that. This is like a smart thermostat for your bed. And this cooling technology leverages water's amazing thermal powers for deep restorative sleep. Chili Sleep systems are designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and give you the confidence and energy to power through your day. Head over to chilisleep.com/DDPSnake to learn more and save 30% off the purchase of any new Cube or Uller sleep system. This offer is available especially for DDP Snake Pit listeners and only for a limited time. That's Chili, C-H-I-L-I, sleep.com/DDPSnake to take advantage of our exclusive discount and wake up refreshed every day.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Jake, what stands out about Raven's body of work to you? He came into ECW at this time where counterculture was a very popular thing in wrestling. The Attitude Era is all based off counterculture, and his character fit perfectly. So what stood out about him to you?
I think what stands out about him most to me is he didn't settle for what they were giving him. You know what I'm saying? He had his mind set. He wanted to be a wrestler. And when Vince was doing that thing with him, he had a great spot.
Didn't want a great spot.
He wanted to wrestle. And I ran into him up there and I said, hey, man, you have to go someplace else to do it. He did. And I just appreciate people that never give up. You know, that just constantly work at it. And he did. And I watched some of his stuff, man, and it's always been solid. But I've always liked selling, and I always like stuff that makes people think.
Yeah, and that's another thing I got from Jake is selling. I mean, like, to me, selling is so much more interesting than anything else you can do. And it's democratic because anybody can do it. You don't have to be a great athlete to sell. You know, my mom could sell it. If you punch my mom in the face, she'd sell the shit out of it. You know? But Yet people don't sell because I don't know
they
why.
Think it's weak.
They think it's weak.
Right. It's crazy. No, it's smart.
The toughest guy is the guy who keeps getting up, not the guy who keeps knocking him down.
Right. When we started, you know, coming in and you started making your way, like I was already on my way at that point, and I wanted to elevate you and Benoit. Those were the two guys that I wanted. And we had some of the best matches.
Yeah.
But whether it was then at one point it was me and Benoit against you and Perry and some of the tags, man.
Click.
Click. It was great. Okay, next move. It's not gonna work here.
It's your show, yeah. It's your show. You can't be clicked.
But I liked it though. But I mean some of the like Perry Saturn, he was
amazing.
Amazing talent. Yeah. Man. I remember coming to see you in ECW. One of the things I came to see you, I want to say it was in Pennsylvania somewhere, and you were in some bingo hall in ECW. And
if ECW never ran a building with a shower, it's where I learned to not take a shower after the matches. Like I would always like, you know, you always took a shower after the matches, but there was no showers, so I would take a bird bath in the sink. Now I get woke mob me, but I would just get undressed. Didn't matter who was standing around, and I would just get undressed. Nobody else was taking a shower, and I'm using a bird bath with soap out of the sink and water.
Oh wow!
Rubbing my balls, cleaning my balls, nice and pretty.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So at this bingo, wherever you were in ECW, I watched Perry take some crazy bump. You know, over the top, came down.
Was that when he injured his leg?
Yeah, no, his head. Oh. He blew his whole friggin' head open, and he was tagging with Cronus. So now he's come back, and this is the first time I ever meet him, and I'm sitting like on the stage area behind the curtain, we're watching the matches, and he comes up, and he is all bound up. He had like the Spirit of 76 look going, and a shoot, because he is wide open, and something hits, and we're talking, and he goes, okay, got to go. Boom, and he takes back off into the ring and finishes off. And that is, I thought Perry Saturn, of all the guys, was one of the toughest sons of bitches.
Oh, my God. And you know what the funny thing is he blew out his leg on a match, and it was out of action for like a year. And the week before, I had finally convinced him to stop doing so much crazy shit. He's like, okay, after this weekend, I'm not going to do any more crazy shit. You know, I'm going to keep the crazy shit to a minimum. And instead, after that match, he blew out his leg. I'm like, it's just, you can't teach them until they learn on their own.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's like, I look at some of these kids today, what they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable athleticism. Unbelievable athleticism. And I like to see some of the older guys who are in their 30s or whatever, slowing some of it down and really selling it and taking it to that level. But some of those young guys who can do anything, so they'll do anything. Wow, man.
Well, X-Pac always said it. He goes, nobody could have told me to stop flying so much when I was started out. And I'm going to tell, and now I know better. And I'm going to tell all these other kids, but I know they're not going to listen
because
nobody could tell me, you know, you can't. Right.
And sometimes you see that one thing about me starting at 35, as hard as it was for me to start at 35 and a half and hitting that mat and shit in the beginning, man, that makes you hurt like hell in the beginning. You know, there's one thing starting there, but the other side was I was 35 and a half. So I was much smarter than I would have been at 25.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And you had made money, so you didn't have to rely on the business for the money. So you could not that you wanted to leave it, but you could take it or leave it, which is a huge thing. You know, it's like I'm a big UFC fan, UFC mark, MMA sure. mark, sure. And it's like I can't believe these guys train, you know, for a fight and have a job. You know, like it's ridiculous.
They
like
have to because yeah, I mean that's what the NFL was. When it first, and the NBA for that matter. But
yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah, right. But they had real jobs. And then they played football. You know, so it's kind of like because the machine had not grown. Now it's, see, $47 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, for quarterbacks. It's freaking crazy.
Yeah. And what can you do with that much money? Like, you know, it's like billionaires. Like now, like a lot of billionaires are doing, or at least they claim they are, they're going to divest themselves of all their income by, you know, either when they die or when at some point. And I'm like, why are you waiting until then? What are you going to, what can you do with $1 billion? You know what I mean?
It's just the ego of all that. Like,
yeah.
For me, it's like, I just want to be comfortable and right. leave my kids some shit. You want to
be content.
Mean?
You want to be content.
I want to be really comfortable and be able to do what I want to do. And I'm in that spot now.
Right.
So if I'm doing something, that's because I love it. The reason why I did this, because of Jake. Like, I didn't want to take the time out to take the
But you found that having a platform for you to put a spouse your career about your how well you've done isn't a bad thing either.
Yeah, but I get again.
I know. I'm kidding.
You know, I don't need. I don't.
You don't need the ego. You don't need the ego. Yeah.
No.
Paige is like me. Similarly, he had an ego issue back in the day.
Sure. Well, because you're trying to prove yourself, and nobody's listening. Nobody believes in you.
Right. Right.
Nobody believes in you.
And hopefully, if you can convince them that you're great, maybe they'll convince you. You know, yeah. It's kind of.
I think it just takes some time, and once you finally start proving yourself, then I don't need to hear it from anybody.
Right.
If anything, today with what we're doing with DDP Yoga and stuff, and you've seen all the stores, like when I had the summit in this building right here, 130 people were here, all transformations.
Right.
And most of them, I don't know them.
Yeah.
But they've had this great transformation because of DDPY, and they just want to meet me and hug me and tell me how thankful. Y'all Sting had trouble. So I never had trouble signing autographs. I love making people happy that way.
Right.
You know, especially when it doesn't cost them anything.
Right.
And if you find me anywhere, you know, if it's not at an autograph show, if you find me, I'm going to sign.
Sure.
For nothing. Because I want it. But if it's a sign, then it's a business thing. Because normally someone paid to have me come in to do it.
Right.
But I never, a lot of guys, like, I know Sting never felt really comfortable, you know, being everybody wanting his autograph and stuff. And today, it's a whole different world. But when he started, he would, you know, a lot of guys don't like that. They just want to do the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And for me, I had no problem signing. But when it comes to this, it's like, it's okay. I don't take it. Do you ever really think about, like, nah, I don't really take it that seriously.
God
just gifted me, giving me this gift.
Yeah. Know? And I can't, it's like, that's why I didn't like being a baby face so much, because I found it hard to take the adulation back in the day because I wasn't happy with myself. So people cheering for me, that felt wrong. But being booed, that felt great. It's like, and you'll find that most heels don't really want to be heels. Nobody really wants to be a heel in this business. I mean, maybe 10% of the people, like Jake, liked being a heel. Yeah. Absolutely. But since I don't really follow current wrestling, but my point being, though, is that most people do not want to, no matter how much they claim they like being a heel, they want to be a cheered heel. You know, they don't want to be booed because that's not a good, that's not a normal human nature. But for me, it always felt like second nature to get booed because I was unpopular. You know, I was egotistical. I was insecure. That felt like my place, and I love being a heel. And
but that's why Raven worked so well for you.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Get the house you want with the payment you want at buywithconrad.com. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this at buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. The first step to buying a house is buywithconrad.com.
If someone relies on you financially, your spouse, your child, anyone, life insurance gives you the peace of mind that they'll have a financial cushion if something ever happens to you. By making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Goliath Life helps make sure you're not paying a penny more than you have to for the life insurance coverage you need to protect those you love. At GoliathLife.com, you can compare personalized quotes from top companies to find your lowest price. The process is fast and easy with no hidden fees, upsells, or hassles. Goliath Life is your one-stop shop to find the life insurance you need at the right price. Head to GoliathLife.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's GoliathLife.com.
You know, and when you can, like you said earlier, John, when you can take that inner thing, and Scotty had a fucked up childhood, and being able to use that because he was mentally beat up for. We talked about it,
and then thinking that because I wasn't sexually abused or physically abused, that it didn't, that it, oh, it shouldn't count then, just being, you know, emotionally, you know, so emotionally troubled shouldn't, well, so then I beat myself up for not being abused more. You know what I mean? It's a really, it's a vicious cycle. I was telling Jake this before the show that, when I went to a psychologist, when I was in WWE at the end as Raven, when they weren't using me well, I finally said, I got to go see a psychologist because I felt so depressed because they weren't using me well. And I learned two things. One, I didn't mention it to Jake because we were talking about something else, but which is that you're not what you do for, you are who you are. You're not what you do. But most people identify themselves by what they do for a living, 100%. By what their job is. And if your job is, if you're treated like shit at your job, you feel like you're a piece of shit. So that's one aspect of it that, that I learned different. The other was that I felt like my career wasn't successful, even though I'd been to ECW World Champion and WCW. I had a really good spot there. And, you know, and I felt like my career wasn't that I wasn't a very successful career. And yet, if anybody would have brought that up to me and said, hey, what do you think? Is my career successful? This is what I've done. I'd be like, fuck yeah. You know? Yeah. But and I had to learn that I held myself to a higher standard, even though, which is just pure arrogance. You know what I mean? But I was holding myself to a higher standard, and I had to learn to allow myself to not be held to that higher standard, because there's so many other reasons why you may not be successful. You know, it has nothing to do with talent sometimes. Sometimes it has to do with attitude. Sometimes it has to do with positioning. Sometimes it has to do with, you know, a bunch of different, you know, size. And that was one of the things I learned. I was telling Jake that that's so difficult to tell yourself to not hold yourself to a higher standard. And once I did that, I was able to look back on my career and go, oh yeah, I did have a hell of a fucking career, you know, and to be able, and then I was, and then to finally have TNA afterwards was such a godsend, because I didn't have to end my career in WWE being used. And looking back, I mean, you know, people remember me for the hardcore matches, and which, you know, like all of that stands up. But at the time, you know, that was every couple of weeks, you know, it wasn't on TV all the time. I wasn't being used, you know, in any higher than that. And being able to go, okay, to finish my career at TNA on top, that was just a blessing in disguise, you know, to get let go by WWE at the end.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, I always felt that, you know, going there and doing that little run that me and you had, you know,
yeah,
you know, because we, our shit was rigging to me. When I look back at that, you know, I mean, it's one of my favorite people to wrestle was you, because we'd been friends for so long, just like Mero.
Right.
We'd been friends for so long, and we'd worked out together, and we'd gotten to know each other's moves.
And we could be honest with each other and say, all right, you want to do this for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And you want to, but you want to do this for the right reasons. We need to do more of this and less of that, you
right,
know?
Right.
And we could be completely 100% honest. And that's why, like, some of my favorite people to work with were people that let me, that threw in their two, they always throw in their 2 cents, but the people that would trust me, like Dreamer always trusted me. Like if I go, I want to do this, this, and this, and he'd be like, I don't know. And I'm like, you got to trust me. And he would always give me his trust and always, but he knew that if it sucked, I'd come out afterwards and go, yeah, I was wrong. That totally sucked. You know?
Yeah, you were like that.
Yeah, I mean, because I think it's a strength to admit when you're wrong. But because my ego was so big that people then never heard when I admitted I was wrong. All they ever heard was me going, I'm so great, you know? So, yeah, it's weird.
The what about Raven thing was a blessing and a curse.
The what about me? What about Raven?
Yeah. Because the blessing and a curse. Blessing was awesome if you want it. But then when you buy into your character too much, and, you know, it's like anything,
yeah,
you know, it starts to hurt you. But, you know, like the whole thing with Eric and everything, it was like, you know, when you had all that shit with him, it just, if you just could today, you would have handled that completely different.
But the good thing is now I don't need to look back and go, oh, I should have done it different. I'm like, yeah, I did what I did. I made the best choices I could at the time, and I'm happy with it. You know, I'm happy with my career. I'm happy with what I've done. I don't go back and look at stuff, not because I didn't enjoy it, but because I've already done it. You know, I like to live in the present. And
smart.
Yeah,
smart,
you know, man. And my goal is to be 100% content. You know, I'm not there yet, but But contentment, I think, is the most admirable goal, because you can't beat being content. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where you got, you know, you finally got to, you know, where you were, instead of struggling and always trying to claw and trying to get a little more, you're finally to the point where you're like, I'm cool. I'm content. I'm happy. I got what I want. Now I can just lay back
and help others.
And help others. Yeah.
And that's my mission in life, dude.
Yeah. The only problem I have with it is the helping others part.
Well,
you helped plenty of people.
But you did, because you helped, I want to bring that point up, because you embody something different. Like a guy like CM Punk looks at Raven and he identifies with Raven. And there are other workers who may not have looked like your stereotypical wrestler, but they look at what you were able to accomplish and they say, maybe there is a path for me to make it in there. Did you ever carry any of that with you?
Yeah. I've always said that a couple of my favorite things to ever hear from fans or from fans is that they'll ask one of another wrestler and they go, is Raven that really that big an asshole? Yeah. And that's like, it's
sometimes
to me, that's the biggest compliment though, because it means they're buying my bullshit. You know, yeah. They're buying what I'm doing. My favorite thing from wrestlers is like Sterling James Keenan, you know, Corey Graves. He told me one day, I was telling his story and I said, my favorite thing is when somebody tells me they got into the business because of me. That's like the greatest compliment you could ever have. And he's like, I got into business because of you. And I was so uncomfortable in the moment. I was like, who'd you ever beat? You know, I mean, I went and found him a little bit later. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry for that. I felt so uncomfortable with the praise because, you know, that's a lot, you know what I mean? To have somebody get into business because of you, you know, but that's still the greatest compliment you can get, you know?
Agreed. So let me ask you, what were some of your favorite matches?
Favorite matches are, I think the five favorite is me and Rhino in Backlash, where he tried to spear me and I moved and he went into the shopping cart. I thought that was like as great a hardcore match as you could possibly have. I thought the
Rhino, that's an underrated guy.
Oh, underrated.
He was so good.
Yeah, and so believable.
So fuck yeah. the other one was tough Canadians, man.
And so strong. I remember we were going over to where I wanted to pick up the shopping cart on the floor and bashed him in the head as he came out through the second and third rope, but I couldn't lift the thing up because they're so fucking heavy and they're so unwieldy, you know what I mean? And like a real grocery store cart, right, the old school ones, right. You know? And he goes, I go, let's do the spot the other way. I go, and he picks it right up, you know, like it's a cup of coffee, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm sticking my head out through the second and third. He picks it up and whops me in the head. And then we set up the spot, but that was one of them. What else?
You gotta have a dreamer match on there.
The double dog collar with the pit bulls.
Oh God.
That was one of my favorites. What else? I think the Goldberg match. Cause
if you go back and look, and I was pissed at the time because that was going to be me and you going back and forth with that title I had that title for a long, long time. And going and giving it to Raven, it was the whole thing. Benoit back, because those two guys, I thought both of these guys are world champions. Like, it's just a matter of time. Like, both of these guys are the top guys, bringing believable shit. He puts himself down for being a great athlete, great wrestler. And to be a great wrestler, you got to be a great athlete. You were like me. You were a guy who's a, what do they call it? Not slow starter, but late bloomer.
Right.
Late bloomer.
Right.
You know, and I honestly believe if I kept wrestling at 23, you know, I never would have been able to handle it like I did starting at
35. Yeah, it all worked out for the right for you.
Exactly. But, you know, when it comes to, what were we just talking about right before that?
Me and Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, so Goldberg. So I was so psyched for us to go back and forth. And then my plan was because I could control a lot of my stuff, you know, because being tight with Bish at that point, and it took till then. I was not there with Bish and that, except for the lower part of the card. But now I'd earned the respect, and I had it after the Savage thing. So I used it, and I wanted to use it to bring my boys up. And I wanted to do that. And then Goldie, of course, they once they saw what was happening with Austin, they hit on him, and he was red hot. And they took the strap right off Ray, but you gave him a great match.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at what happened over the next 100 and some matches, ain't nobody had the match that you had.
Right? Yeah, thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
What's your favorite match with Dallas, Scott?
What's that?
What's your favorite match with Dallas?
Spring Stampede, I'm pretty sure. Isn't that what it
was? I was always, you have to look up to tell me that, but that was always my, that's why I beat Savage. That's when I won the world title. I'm almost positive that's when we did the triple cap.
Yeah, I think.
The triple threat.
The triple threat was Uncensored 98. That was you and Benoit for the U.S. title.
But oh, then that was the match.
And for
Spring Stampede wasn't as good. I think that was when they had the bales of hay. Match. Was that the one with the bales of hay and stuff? Like on a set, there was a set piece with bales of hay by the entranceway.
Yeah, you used a bull rope in that match. That was Spring Stampede.
Yeah, that wasn't as good as the Uncensored one, I don't think.
No, the uncensored one was friggin' that one with the three of us. That was so good. And the people, I mean, when we did the triple sleeper spot,
yeah,
the triple suplex spot, which had never been done before.
Right.
No one ever done that yet. And very rarely find something in wrestling that's never been done before. But it bummed me out so bad when I have pretty much control of the very best of Nitros. You know, like they gave me like, what matches do you want to talk about? Blah, blah, blah. Like I got in everything, every time that you and I were together somewhere on some great match, Benoit do a run-in
right,
or something. Because it was keeping us all together, and again, to elevate all three.
But actually, I just remember my favorite Page thing was we were on MTV, the TRL, God. And with Carson Daly, which was like the hottest show at the time. And Page is being interviewed with the Foo Fighters there. And then all of a sudden, there's a TV on the set, and the screen comes on, and I come on and start cutting a promo. And then all of a sudden, Page is like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, listen to this idiot. And all of a sudden, I was on stage. I came up behind him and bashed him with a stop sign. And, of course, Paige said, make sure you lay it in. So I laid it in.
But wait, let me interject. There's the stop sign that's this big, the one you see on the road. When you hit that guy right in the middle as hard as you want, boing, it's going to hurt. But it's not going to hurt anything like the stop sign that's this big.
Sure.
That has the same amount of steel in it. And it's like hitting you with this.
Yeah.
And he hit me. And Dave, if you've you'll see David Grohl jump off and like almost land on the lap of his drummer or whatever.
Yeah.
And man.
And Paige wanted to be mad at me so badly, but he couldn't because he's like, because you got to lay it in on stuff like that.
But I told you to lay it in.
Right.
Oh my God. But I was thinking, boing, I was going to get that one, not the.
The thud.
But it was still a lot of shit, enough to make Grohl jump off his thing and then DDT me to the thing through the table. And those guys were so cool after, right?
Oh, yeah.
They loved watching it. They loved watching it back. It was pretty cool, man.
I used to test weapons before the matches. I'd go backstage, and when I was doing the hardcore thing in WWE, and I'd have the shopping cart full of stuff, I would test them on myself. I'd go, gonk. And if it didn't make any noise, it didn't matter how cool it looked, couldn't use it. Because if it doesn't make any noise, the people can only see it and hear it. They can't feel it. So if it doesn't, like one time I was wrestling Dreamer in ECW Arena on Thanksgiving, and some fan handed him a turkey on the floor. And so I see that. So I'm going to feed him. So I stick my head through the second and third like I'm going to reach him because I was in the ring. Stick my head through the second and third rope, and he goes, bonk. It just made a bonk noise because it was frozen. And I blacked out for like a half a second.
Right.
And I was like unconscious, conscious. What the fuck was that? The people are going, boo! They had crapped on it so bad because they thought it was just a regular turkey. They didn't realize it was frozen and it hurt like a son of a bitch. But it just goes to show you that they can't feel it. So they can only see and hear. And if it doesn't make a noise, And that's why you can hit him with something really cheap, those flimsy pots.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He was like, I've never done this, but he's like the king of the hardcore shit, right? So he goes, I go, dude, that must have hurt like hell. He goes, no, come here. And he shows me this pan that looks like it's going to kill you. And it made the loudest noise.
And it dents around your head.
I go, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And one of the things I came up with, like they have those plates that are plastic. They're like this. But when they break like glass, but it's plastic. And I would like spray paint it and like DDP on it. And I grab it from the fan who has been set up to have it there, grab it and break it over and shatter it. And you just fall to the ground.
I used to love taking a garbage can every so often. I would take it and turn it so I'd hit him with the bottom of the can. And I remember the boys would be like, oh, fuck, he's hitting me with the bottom of the can because it looks like it hurt too hard. It's the same thing. It's the same as the sides. It doesn't hurt anymore. But for some reason, it looks more painful. So I remember so many guys going, and I'm like, eh, this ain't going to hurt a bit.
And the shit that, like the turkey, the shit that does hurt looks like shit.
Right.
You don't buy it. Like you shit on it, you know?
Yeah, like when you get stiffed, it usually looks like shit. You know, when you get stiffed in a match, it usually looks terrible, but it hurts. You know, that's the worst, when it's terrible and it hurts.
Well, we are so glad that you've been able to overcome frozen turkeys and every other hurdle that's been placed in front of you to hang with us here on DDP Snake Pit. This has really been such a great conversation. What have you been up to these days? Anything you'd like to plug out there?
What's your show? What's the name of your show?
The Raven Effect Podcast. It's a professional shit show. It's just me and a couple of buddies just talking shit. There's not a lot of wrestling talk. It's just whatever comes up. And if you want to just feel like you're listening to three buddies having a conversation and feel like you're a part of it, it's really entertaining. It's a lot of nonsense. And
nonsense?
Yeah. Nonsensical banter, absurdities. And mainly right now I'm just recovering. I had knee replacement surgery on my right knee. And I got, as soon as that's done recovering in another month, I'm going to get knee replacement surgery on the left knee.
Ooh, goody.
And, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I mean, I was really like, oh, this is going to hurt so bad. It's going to suck, but it really hasn't been. It's been really easy, you know, so knocked the left knee out and then I got to get the right shoulder done. Like I didn't have a whole lot of big time career injuries. Like I herniated 3 discs in my back and I had a rotator cuff surgery, but that's, you know, in 30 years, that's not a lot. You know what I mean? And
But now the wear and tear.
Yeah, now the wear and tear finally caught up to me. So right. Both knees, I already had one shoulder replaced like in 2013. And it hurts so bad that I've waited until 2023 until 2023 to get the other shoulder replaced. But once I get the knees and the shoulder, then I'll be fine again, you know. How can you not be happy? How can you not be, you know, content after, 30 plus years in the business? You know, I got money. I got an old lady. I got a nice house.
You have a beautiful old lady.
Yeah, a beautiful old lady. Yeah, a beautiful house. And I'm just retired, semi-retired. You know what I mean? I go on the road when I want to. I don't go on the road when I don't want to.
Yeah, do you have any signings coming up?
No, because of my knee replacement. I took everything off to like June or July. And then realizing I'm going to get the other surgery in July, I'm like, I'm just taking everything off till November.
Hey, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, sir, is are you eating healthy now? There's a product here. And again,
Athletic Greens.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sponsored our show too. And,
they sponsored
Yeah. I sampled them. They sent me the big sample box.
Right. Right.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
I mean, when I first saw Tony Robbins, you know, talking about this type of thing.
No, he has acromegaly. Giantism.
Yeah, I buy that. He's got a big head.
Yeah, but he's not that big. You know, he's not
6'8".
Is he 6'8"? Yeah, I thought he's like 6'2".
No, dude, I'm right next to him. No, I went and saw him.
Oh.
But he was talking about this, and he had so much energy. He spoke for 11 hours when I saw him.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking, whatever he's doing, I want to try it. but it tastes like mud. You know, then I thought, okay, I'll try another green drink. So I went to like, this is before I started doing organic juicing. And I went to another like whole health food store. Give me your best tasting green, blah, blah, blah. And it had
sugar.
Yeah, but it had a tenth of what AG1 has.
And the best tasting always has way more sugar than you want.
Exactly.
Right.
But, you know, then I went to just forget all that shit. I'm just going to drink regular green juice. I would never have believed that there is a powder that has as many vitamins and enzymes and all the right shit. 1 gram of sugar.
Yeah, you don't have to sell me. Sell them.
No, we're talking about it. I'm not trying to sell them.
I know. I'm kidding.
You know, the bottom line is for you to do it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and to really honestly do it. Jake really does it. My wife does. And I don't really put anything over unless I'm doing it.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to definitely put it on where anybody else can hear about it. But I was blown away by the taste and the package. And I still haven't gotten my next box. I'm expecting it to come. But I mean, I love that, you know, we were on the road. We just used the pockets for a drink. And then I didn't have to have my green drink. Because normally, before this, I'd come in. First thing I do is look for a juice place.
Yeah.
Now I don't.
Well, you know what I was always amazed by is how much baggage you, like, that you were able to, like, that you had the like, not the presence of mind, but the ability to drag all these different.
Still today, bro.
I want to pack as light as possible, as few things as possible, because I don't want to have to lug my bag around. And like, you know, even if I'm lugging just one bag in a briefcase, that's still a pain in the ass. And Paige is bringing a giant, like a
blender.
A blender.
And shakes.
Well,
you know, before there was
beauty,
the shaking.
The beauty of AG1 is it's just one delicious scoop and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens in the process. And it is.
What are adaptogens anyway?
Well, all I know is that you don't have to worry about any of that because with AG1, you're taking care of across the board there. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, which I know I need, as well as mental clarity and alertness. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. And it's
that's the part that I always hit home on the advertising on our show is that it's less than $3 a serving. You know, that's great. That's fantastic.
Can't beat that. It's cheaper than getting all those different supplements yourself. It is an all-in-one nutritional insurance. And right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. And that is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. That big bag that you're carrying around, DDP, none of that. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/DDPsnake. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/DDPsnake to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We love it here on DDP Snake Pit, Raven, and we love having you here, man. This has been so great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man. I had a great time. I always love catching up with Paige. You know, we touch base about every month or two, you know, say hi, but we haven't really caught up and talked about the old days in forever.
Oh, long time.
Forever.
Long time. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks,
love
man.
Being on. And John, it's been your pleasure.
It has been my pleasure. I'm going to click myself right now. Click. We'll see you next time here on DDP Snake Pit.